Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth with my excellent co-host, Jim Fetzer. And man, we have so much to do, but I want to say good morning to Jim first. It feels like 100 years since we talked last.
It does, Maria. So much is going on, and it's all terribly fraught with significance for the future of the nation, even the world.
Oh, even the world. I think that's the story that all this distraction is keeping us from, is how everybody's lining up for World War III. I don't know if you saw yesterday, the UK is starting to make war plans against Russia.
Well, it's absurd because the whole thing was completely contrived. There's no reason to think there was any Russian poisoning of this guy. It would be a stupid thing to do. It turns out the poison can be put together with ordinary ingredients in a garage. Moscow has very reasonably asked for proof or an apology. But they aren't offering either. They're eager to go to war, even though Putin released information about these hypersonic weapons that the Russians have developed that leave the American military and every other in the world essentially defenseless to protect against them. In other words, rushing pell-mell to war with Russia is an act of incredible stupidity.
Well, you know, I said, you know, I made a quick list. It only took me like 2 minutes, but I have two pages of names and questions. And I said, I wonder if I should just play word association with Jim on the show today. But the first one that I came up with was John Bolton.
Yeah, what a catastrophe. I mean, this guy is a hawk's hawk. There's a political cartoon where his mustache was being used to spell out W-A-R. He has, we got a former IDF head saying how Bolton was encouraging Israel to attack Iran, how he has advocated the preemptive nuclear strike against North Korea, where he's going to lobby for acts of aggression against Iran, obviously to sabotage the Iran deal, which was silly from the beginning because Iran had given up its nuclear weapons program in 2003 after Saddam was taken out, Maria. They had only been pursuing it because of propaganda coming from the vice president and his allies about Saddam pursuing nuclear weapons, Condoleezza Rice talking about the mushroom cloud and all that. It was nonsense. The document that was supposed to substantiate that he was pursuing Yellowgate was shown by Joe Wilson to be a fraud signed by Italian authorities who weren't even in office at the time. And they outed his wife, who was running the most important covert op in the in the country, in our intel arsenal, to constrain the release of weapons, the development of nuclear weapons, the proliferation of nuclear weapons in the Middle East. And she was outed, hung out to dry, out of peak. I mean, this is disgusting, Maria.
I know. I said, oh, God. I said, are we going to start seeing names from the Bush administration? But the good thing is, a lot of people with this nomination of Bolton, man, they started bringing back the illegality of the Iraq-Afghanistan wars and how there has never been any accountability.
Yeah.
And here you got one of the creators of the Iraq War, Bolton, back on deck. I mean, this guy's nuts.
Yes, I know. Completely, I know. I think certifiably insane, frankly. I was just dumbfounded that Trump would appoint him. Well, I agree that McMaster was a problem. McMaster was a never-Trumper, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and appears to have been working for George Soros. So dumping McMaster was a good move. But it looks like out of the frying pan into the fire with Bolton.
Right. Well, here's one thing. You know, I for whatever reason, Jim, I know a lot of Marines right now, young Marines, you know, in their 20s, in their 30s. And let me tell you, these kids worshipped McMaster. And they were like, Trump better not get rid of McMaster. So I'm wondering how the troops are feeling when you look at that. And then you look at his pick for the CIA, Gina Haspel, you know, a torturer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if anybody can't see that he's building a war cabinet and we're going to go back to the horrors of, you know, what do they call it? Enhanced interrogation. They got to be blind.
It sure looks that way, Maria. We have more evidence here that he's pursuing an Israel-first foreign policy. That was the message of Fire and Fury, that book about, you know, the campaign, which I have read and gave a thumbnail sketches of the key players. And the message you had to derive is that Bush was basically pursuing the policies of Bibi Netanyahu, who, of course, is among the world's most despicable human beings. I mean, it's grotesque that this man is so influential, where it's led to suspicion that they have something with which they can blackmail Trump. Now, I'm hoping it isn't true, and that Trump is simply taking extreme positions so he can negotiate his way to the middle, which is his technique and the art of the deal. But it's certainly extraordinary what's going on here, and very worrisome.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of people are saying, how's he going to negotiate a deal when he can't negotiate a deal with a porn star properly? Okay,
let's... Is that whole thing just ridiculous?
I don't know. I got to tell you, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. Let's get back to where it is. Let's get
so,
back.
So is my wife.
Well, I said I should put Jim's wife on the show one day so we can have a few laughs. But truthfully, watching her, I found her very believable. I think her lawyer, where was that guy when I was getting divorced, man? He's like the best lawyer I've ever seen. But it's a freak show. But, you know, that's a small story next to Karen McDougal, who had a 10-month affair with Trump.
I know. She was much more attractive, in my opinion, than Dusty. But
well, listen, Stormy. Stormy was pretty attractive in her day, okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
listen,
yeah.
Both of them reminded him of his daughter, Ivanka. How sickening is that?
Isn't that something?
You know, I never asked you, Jim, do you have children? Do you have daughters?
Oh, yeah, sure. I have a son from my first marriage and a daughter from my second, and two daughters from my wife's first marriage. So, yeah.
Now, can you ever imagine yourself thinking or saying that about your daughter?
I know.
I wanted to puke on the floor. Listen, my father was a really great guy, and he had ended up with six daughters by the time he was done. But I remember at a certain age where he told us to cover up, to dress right, you know, cover up, because he said, I'm a normal man. Okay. That was the whole discussion, and the discussion was over, and we all got it. But when I look at this, I'm like, holy crap. All right, let's get back to word association. This is going to be fun. Rex Tillerson.
Well, you know, taking out Rex and replacing him with Pompeo is a really bad move. I mean, this Pompeo is another hawk. He's seems to buy into all the stereotypes about North Korea and Iran as part of the so-called Axis of Evil, which was initiated, of course, by W. But he seemed to me, even though he graduated at the top of his West Point class reputedly, to be a bit of a moron. You know, I'd be more inclined to describe him as a moron than I would Trump.
Well, don't forget, he's also a religious fanatic who sees this as a religious war, which gives me shades of George W. You remember when he spoke to the president of France during after 9/11, and he said, this is the war of Gog and Magog. Do you remember that?
Isn't that awful?
I mean, these are mental cases. These are all mental cases. Okay, so Dodd-Frank, both parties voting to get rid of Dodd-Frank.
Well, it's ridiculous. There's so many things we need to regulate. And the banks have been completely out of control. We need to bring back the Smith-Mundt Act, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation. within the United States that were being used without. It's completely outrageous, and that's what we're saddled with, all these phony attacks from Sandy Hook to the Boston bombing to Las Vegas, now Parkland. Maria, it's outrageous how they're attempting to bamboozle the American people and then capitalize upon it as a political event. This is actually a DNC public relations movement to enhance membership in the party and to vote for Democrats in the midterm elections.
All right, but people don't get this. You had Democrats voting against Dodd-Frank. You had Democrats voting for the tax giveaway, because that's what I call it. People keep saying to me, well, what's the option? I said, listen, the only difference is the Democrats tend to be more pro-personal and civil rights. That's about it. How else do these people become billionaires being in office?
Well, it's shocking when you look at how many politicians come in and poor and walk out rich. It's the way Washington works, and it's of course appalling, even to the extent of nauseating. And we have hope that Trump would drain the swamp, where it looks as though there's a revelation about the deep state in what's known as the senior executive services in the Department of Justice, that there are 500 attorneys who have the highest ranking, that they all make as much or more than the vice president of the United States. They have the control over the salaries of 10,000 other bureaucrats, and that this appears to be the core of the deep state, where, the revelations here are profoundly disturbing, but they confirm our worst fears about being controlled by a shadow government.
Which we've been since.
Even the public now, we have new poll results that most Americans now believe we, in fact, are being controlled by a shadow government, which, of course, is 100% correct.
Well, didn't John Kennedy warn us of that in the 1960s?
Well, even Eisenhower, of course, in his parting speech, warned against the growing increased influence of whether intended or not of the military-industrial complex. But this latest poll has 8 in 10 believing the U.S. government currently monitors or spies on the activities of American citizens, including a majority, 53%, who say this activity is widespread. But we also have a large bipartisan majority of feel that national policy is being manipulated or directed by a deep state of unelected government officials. And we have all long believed it, even Saddam, even Osama bin Laden, when he was presented with the claim he'd been involved in 9/11, rejected that assertion, explained it was contrary to the tenets of the Quran to murder innocent women and children, but that there was a government within the government that wanted to blame it on Muslims. Even Bill Clinton, who was a bit of an authority, acknowledged it was a government within the government and that he did not control it, that was calling the shots. But of course, Osama and Al-Qaeda had nothing to do with 9/11, just a cover story to get the United States engaged in these endless wars in the Middle East to benefit Israel.
Well, now we're in, looks like we're going to be fighting some big war for Israel, because, John Bolton and the rest of these lunatics he's putting in have always been pro-Israel and anti-Iran. And like you have made the point a million times on this show, Iran hasn't attacked another nation in 300 years.
I know. So why in the world should they be the target? The answer, I think, becomes obvious. It's because they threaten the domination of the Middle East by Israel, that Iran has the potential to become a far more influential player in the Middle East, and the Israelis don't like it one bit.
All right. Well, I did want to discuss, I got so many other things, so I'm glad you're playing along with me and keeping it quick so we could cover so many things. This morning, the head of the California NAACP, her name is Alice Huffman, she gave a press conference and finally said something that I've been screaming about forever. She said, we need gun control in our communities. Hold on a minute. We need gun control in our communities, but we also need gun control in the police departments of the nation. this after two more young black Americans were murdered by cops this week. And now they got riots going on because the ones where they shot the 22-year-old father, the cop is not going to be charged. So now the feds are saying they're going to investigate it. But you and I both know those investigations go nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, the police kill 1,100 of us every year. That's more than school shootings. That's more than Vegas. That's more than, you know, whatever. But they seem to have impunity. So
well,
I was glad she said
it. Police shootings have been way out of control. A part of the problem appears to me to be the increased militarization of the police forces on the one hand by giving them surplus military equipment they don't need, but on the other, sending our police forces to Israel to be trained because they come back treating U.S. citizens the way the Israelis treat the Palestinians, which is a severe form of brutality. In fact, it turns out that because the DNA studies have shown that the residents of Israel, by and large, are descended from the Khazarian region of Eastern Europe, not from the tribe of Judea, whereas the Palestinians are bona fide Semites, that Israel is actually the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world.
Well, not just that. I don't know if you've been following what they're doing to their asylum seekers who happen to be black. But they're either imprisoning them, they're deporting them, or they're even fining people for not turning them in and paying people to turn them in. So now you have an underground railroad happening in Israel where they're hiding, the decent Israeli people are hiding these asylum seekers for their safety. All this going on under the nose of Netanyahu, who claims to be God's chosen leader.
I know, it's embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing. This guy who's, you know, four of his closest associates have been indicted for corruption. There's much debate in Israel whether once he's indicted, he can continue to serve as a prime minister. Similar to debates going on, of those who hope that Trump is going to be indicted. Frankly, my belief is most of those charges against him have been shown to be baseless, in particular the Russiagate, where we actually know, I mean, two journalists who followed the Hillary campaign published a book, Shattered, in 2017, explaining how Robbie Book and John Podesta had fabricated the Russian hacking meme out of whole cloth within 24 hours of Hillary's concession speech. And yet we've been hearing about it for, nearly a year and a half nonstop from the mainstream media when it has no foundation whatsoever. The corruption in the DOJ and the FBI involving collusion between the Clinton campaign, the DNC, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, and so forth with this guy from the UK, Christopher Steele, in fabricating the dossier and using it to justify a FISA surveillance against the Trump people, has really exposed so much corruption that I believe the Democrats felt they were in a precarious position heading toward the midterms. And for that reason, I submit, we had the Parkland shooting, which I've been investigating in great detail, and it's an elaborately staged event. I have found no proof that anyone died there any more than anyone died in Las Vegas, in Boston, or at Sandy Hook.
Well, you know, I think I got a story for tomorrow's show about the hundreds of videos from the Las Vegas shooting that have not been released. And I don't know who it is pushing for the release of that, but my thought is this, Jim. When there's a shooting like this, we need to see the pictures. We need to see it. We can handle it. All Americans watch on TV is violence. So we could handle it, and it would put an end to the arguments. You know, show us the video. We still haven't seen any video from the Pentagon on 9/11.
Well, actually, we've seen 33 videos from the concert area in Las Vegas, and they all show sounds of shots. They don't show any shots. We have a video of a presumptive shooter turning to fire into the crowd. You can see the muzzle flash, but he's not actually hitting anyone because he's firing blanks. We have another video where a crisis director comes out in front of the camera to have two crisis actors redo their scene. You can find that right online. Mm-hmm. We've been pursuing the obituaries and find that they're based on people who died in different states or on different dates or from different causes of death. The whole thing was completely contrived. They used a pre-recorded soundtrack. They played over the PA system with coordinated special visual effects of lights flashing in the Mandalay Bay on the fourth floor in the middle of the hotel to simulate a machine gun, three light flashes higher up to simulate American military weapons with fired three-shot blasts. I've seen no evidence of any shots having been fired from the 32nd floor suite. And in fact, Maria, it turns out that the body we saw there turns out not even to be Stephen Paddock, who had earlobes that attached smoothly to his face, but the earlobes there are curled. It turns out the body subjected to autopsy in Las Vegas was 71 inches or 6'1", but we have a hunting and fishing license from Alaska showing that Paddock was 6'4", so even the body subjected to autopsy wasn't that of Paddock.
Right.
Turns out now that the judge has directed the coroner, who closed his office when he was being besieged with a request for death certificates and autopsy reports because he didn't have any, has to release him, and he's now scrounged up 58 autopsy reports from all over the country from six different coroners or medical examiners. He's taken off the names, the file numbers. They don't even have ballistic evidence, and yet these are all supposed to be victims of shooting to put up fake data, absolutely fabricated to pacify the judge's directive.
Well, what do you think about the new videos they've been showing of Paddock the days before, where he's supposedly bringing in stuff to his room and boxes of guns and whatnot?
It's a fabrication. Look, if they had actually had that footage in the beginning, it would have been shown long before now. This is because the criticism of Las Vegas has become so strong, they're trying to counteract it, just as they released some footage from Orlando, which was simply absurd. The license for the Pulse expired 3 years before the event. It wasn't even open. It had a legal occupancy of 150. They claimed 300 were crammed in. It only had 11 parking spaces. If you had 300 there, there would have been abandoned cars everywhere. There were none to be found. They had very feeble crisis actors walking around even toward the club instead of away. The Orlando Emergency Medical Center has decided not to charge anyone for services rendered. When's the last time you heard of a hospital not charging for a Band-Aid? That's because no services were rendered. They didn't want to be accused from fraud. You look at that footage in the elevator. It doesn't have any date time stamps for when you're supposed to have Paddock there. It doesn't look like Paddock. We had the valet who initially brought him into the hotel. He said he had very little luggage. This is all contrived to fill some major gaps in the official story, Maria.
Well, I figured, look how long it took for those to come out. Anything could happen, you know. I also, though, well, how do you explain then Trump visiting these kids that were shot in the hospital?
American trauma surgeon who observed they weren't even connected to the diagnostic equipment such as blood pressure. I mean, I went down to urgent care here several months ago when I fainted, and they immediately put on blood pressure. They kept it on until I got a clean bill of health. We have an American military surgeon who observed that none of these kids appear to actually have had gunshot wounds, that one guy bounded out of bed to speak to Trump when he came in to greet him, that if he'd actually been shot in the leg as advertised, he not only wouldn't have had the inclination, he wouldn't have had the ability. It's all completely nonsense. Very like in Parkland. In fact, the New York Times published an article about the severe damage from shots to the leg by AR-15s, not because of the size of the caliber, which is relatively small, .223, but the high velocity. And yet we have a girl, Samantha Fuentes, who's supposed to have been shot in each leg, and she's a week later up and about walking around with her wounds covered by Band-Aids. This appears to be because they use simmunition, that there actually were shooters there using this simulated ammunition that's made out of beeswax and laundry detergent, Maria. It stings like a bee, but it does no permanent damage properly deployed. That appears to be the source of the injuries they sustained, not AR-15 round ammo at all.
All right. Okay. Well, let's move and groove back to yesterday. 60 Russians were expelled and their compound in Seattle was shut down. Trump didn't announce it. He made Sarah Huckabee announce it. Do you think Trump was forced to do that since he still hasn't enforced the sanctions?
Well, I think it's completely ludicrous to be, you know, there's no proof that the Russians had anything to do with it. It turns out this chemical could have been put together in a garage using, you know, local ingredients. I mean, it's just 100% ridiculous, Maria. There's nothing to it. These are the kinds of actions that are taken, you know, preliminary to war.
Right.
It looks as though there's a major effort to initiate warfare right now, and I'm stunned and taken aback, even floored.
Well, listen, you and I have been covering this since Bill Clinton was president, how we've been encircling Russia and China, okay? And it continued from Clinton to Bush to Obama and now, obviously, to Trump. But I don't think that people realize how serious this threat of world war is. And all the media wants to do is cover the distraction stories. To me, everything else is a distraction story. Most people don't know we're in war in Yemen. Yesterday, hundreds of thousands of people in Yemen were out protesting in the street. They didn't get any coverage on that. We're already slaughtering people in Yemen. And this is, I believe, as you do, that this is all wars for Israel. What else could it be?
No, you're 100% correct. That's exactly what it is. Wars for Israel. Simply ridiculous. We got to get off of this Israel shtick. There was a country that did interfere in our election, but it wasn't Russia. It was Israel. And as Cynthia McKinney explained long ago, when new members of Congress arrive in Washington, they're asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States, and those who refuse find themselves confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate, or even that their district has been redrawn and they no longer have a seat. Cynthia was able to overcome those obstacles to serve 8 terms, but others, such as Denis Kucinich, whom I regarded as the smartest member of Congress, were not. We have to get Israel out of our Congress. It's an outrage, and it's perverting the United States government.
Well, that's why I keep making these memes that these kids that are protesting the NRA lobby need to protest all the lobbies, especially AIPAC. So
yeah.
To me, you know, and that, I'll tell you what, a lot of people love that meme because a lot of people now are aware of AIPAC. But Jim, when you and I started, nobody cared and nobody knew about them.
Yeah.
So that's good. But I also see that Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have also funneled in some pay-to-play money for Trump. So why is he in bed with people that should be our enemies? I mean, Saudi Arabia was one of the biggest players on 9/11.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they were financially, you know, it's true that 15 of the 19 alleged terrorists were from Saudi Arabia. None, for example, were from Iraq. It therefore, on its face, would have made more sense to invade Saudi Arabia than to invade Iraq. But they do appear to have had a role in financing. That gets back to the 28 suppressed pages of the 9/11 Commission report that were dealing with this, where Saudi Arabia responded to the passage by Congress of an act that allowed American civilians to sue Saudi Arabia for its involvement in 9/11 by explaining that on 9/11, the United States attacked the United States. I mean, you'd think we'd have put two and two together by now, Maria. It's completely outrageous.
No, but we're selling weapons to Saudi Arabia. We're investing there. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Saudis have a big hold, interest and investment in Fox News. I mean, it amazes me that we're still stuck in Iraq and Afghanistan. You don't hear any talk about it. It's like the war that doesn't happen. Which goes back to, listen, Jim, you remember Vietnam. We watch that war every night on TV. We don't see that coverage for war. We don't see it for the shootings. We don't see it for anything. You know what I mean? Let's see it. You know, that's the only thing that stopped the war in Vietnam was the photos, the pictures, especially that little girl burnt with napalm. But yet today they want you to believe everything without any evidence of anything.
Well, it had to do with the anti-war movement, too, which Nixon nullified by abolishing the draft. But that, I believe, was a huge mistake, that we actually need the draft to keep American families concerned about issues of war and peace. Their attitude since has been, that someone else is going to do it, that their own sons and daughters aren't at risk, and therefore they don't need to care, which has enabled the executive to perpetrate one military action after another without opposition from the American public, which is a great loss. Not only that, but now you have young people who know nothing about weapons, have no discipline or experience with firearms. We had two of these girls from Parkland go to Israel and claim how safe they felt in Israel compared to in their own school, which was supposed to be among the safest in the country in Broward County, ignoring that Israel is an armed camp and that you have young people with assault weapons all over Israel all the time. I mean, this was an incredibly naive statement.
They walk that way. Well, what did
guns, not less.
What did you think about Israel giving Ahed Tamimi eight months in jail for slapping an Israeli soldier that had just blown her cousin's face off? And they profess to be God's chosen people, and you look at how they treat the Palestinians, and it's an open conflict of interest if they're God's chosen people.
Yeah.
It's just sickening. Yeah. You know what I mean? It is. You got a little teenage girl who did the right thing. She and her mother both got 8 months in jail. And we pay them how much money every day? $13 million?
Yes, it's unreal, Maria. Absolutely unreal.
I know.
I couldn't agree more.
All right. Jim, and we want to cut Meals on Wheels and food stamps in America. Stay with us. Jim and I will be right back. We need to take a short break. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Roaring Truth with myself and Jim Fetzer. Check out Jim's work at his blog. I'll put a live link here for you. Jim, here's another interesting... Oh, you're the one that... Because I always remember you when I'm reading news stories. Putin came out and said that he has weapons now that our missile defense system would do absolutely no good for, that he could destroy the entire country with one weapon. You're the one that's been saying for years, well, we've been wasting money on our wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Putin's been developing weapons we can't defeat. Do you think Putin is lying?
Absolutely not. No, he's telling the truth. He's just trying to tamp down the seeming enthusiasm for war, apparently coming from the United States and other sources, which is a colossal blunder on so many different counts, including the fact that actually Russia is prepared for war, but doesn't want to wage one. The United States wants to wage a war, but isn't prepared for one. They have superior equipment. We've known this for a long time. They have, you know, torpedoes that are phenomenal, missiles that are, you know, unstoppable. they have a wide array of weapons that essentially neutralize the entire American military, which is why I think that if there were a war, we would have to launch a nuclear strike against Russia, which is going to end in the annihilation of life on Earth. I mean, it's a terrible situation we're in. A reason why I believe everyone ought to watch Dr. Strangelove at least once each year to remind themselves of the ominous threat to world peace and to life on Earth of nuclear weapons.
Right. Well, for some reason, people have been convinced that they can survive a nuclear war. You know, you see the scientists all the time raising how much radiation is safe for you and your food and your water, etc. You know, I was reading an article that Japan wants to ship the rice from Fukushima to France for sale. So when you look at Fukushima, which has been ignored for 7 years, you can realize how easy it is for people to believe that they can survive radiation or a nuclear war.
It's ludicrous. It's just ludicrous. You know, American scientific literacy is so low that they can perpetrate anything they want. I mean, it's like in Boston, you can have bodies missing arms and legs and there can be no blood, and the American people don't notice that this is a physiological impossibility because you cannot have arms and legs blown off by explosives and there can be no blood. Or that you could have, you know, a student shot with an AR-15 and be walking around with their wounds covered by a Band-Aid a week later. I mean, it's all preposterous, but Americans are very ignorant, very gullible. And when the mainstream just piles it on, and they're hearing the same thing from every source, they tend to assume that it's true, which is a colossal blunder in this day and age because they've turned into the greatest instruments of propaganda and disinformation the world has ever known.
Well, you know, years ago when I interviewed Paul Craig Roberts after 9/11, I said, how is it that people can believe the official story? And he said something I never forgot, Jim. He said, they count on the fact that Americans are ignorant when it comes to math and science.
Yes, that's 100% correct.
You know, you can't say it any better. You can't say it any better than that. All right, right after the Parkland shooting, Trump was bloviating how he would have run into the building even if he wasn't armed to stop the shooters. And then he said something that I said, oh my God, you saw him say it. I had to watch it a few times. He said, take the guns, then due process later. What did you think of that statement?
Well, I have two comments about it. One, the statement was atrocious and betrays a complete lack of understanding of the Constitution. If the rule of law stands for anything, it's that no American can be deprived of life, liberty, or property, including their weapons, without due process. So that was a deplorable statement, in my opinion, you know, verged on an impeachable offense. On the other hand, in terms of his personal courage, there appears to be good reason to believe that that might have been exactly what he did. Marla Maples, for example, has confirmed that when they were together in a limo, he saw someone brutalizing another guy with a baseball bat. Trump stopped the car and, against her protestations that he shouldn't get involved, rushed to confront the guy and induced him to, you know, quit the scene. So I do believe he's a man of great integrity and moral courage with regard to ethically challenging issues, which may sound absurd, because in relation to his dalliances with other women, obviously, he has a great weakness there. He's as notorious a womanizer as Bill Clinton.
Right. Well, but then you have, you know, then you have the other side of it where people are saying the same guy who said he'd run into the building, even if he wasn't armed, was nowhere to be seen during the marches. He's had no comment on it. He's had no comment on Stormy Daniels' interview, which, by the way, gave 60 Minutes the best ratings they've had in 10 years.
Yeah. Well,
so, you know, don't just talk the talk, you know. Listen, I've known Trump's history for a long time. He's a wannabe gangster. That's what we called him in New York. He's a wannabe. but he'll never be as good as a real gangster. But here's something that, because I know you were having computer problems this morning, you might not have seen this, and I got to tell you, I posted it with the word wow on it. The former Supreme Court Justice, John Paul Stevens, today is calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment. He said that would solve the problem, to just repeal the Second Amendment. What do you think
of
that?
If you want a real civil war in the United States, that kind of absurd talk would do it. There have been 19 genocides in the 20th century, as the University of Hawaii's Democide Project has revealed. They led to the death of 263 million people. Each of those genocides was preceded by gun confiscation. As Judge Napolitano has observed, we don't have the Second Amendment to protect assault weapons in order to shoot deer. We have a Second Amendment that protects assault weapons to shoot tyrants. It's our greatest and last defense against the imposition of a tyranny. And, Justice Stevens has just lost his marbles. I'm sorry to say he's a worthy guy. I've admired him in the past, but this is a colossally misconceived observation. The Second Amendment is among the very most important rights we have as American citizens, and for good reason.
Well, I keep telling people, you can support the Second Amendment and still support these kids. Do you know what I mean? Jim, I don't know about you, but if my kids were little today, I would not send them to school for a myriad of reasons.
Well, sure. I mean, you could support, more background checks or bump stocks, which simply enable you to shoot faster. But, the fact is that the evidence they're citing is fabricated. It's not authentic evidence. There are 5 million AR-15s in the United States. Only 5 have ever been alleged to have been used in these shootings, and 3 of them, Sandy Hook, Las Vegas, and Parkland, were fabrications. I guarantee you, I've done enough research on this to tell you nobody died on either of those occasions, and it was all fabricated and framed. We've even been pursuing the obituaries in Las Vegas, and we find they're based on people who died in different states or on different dates or for different causes of death. Where did I already mention that the coroner has produced 58 autopsy reports from 6 different medical examiners? I mean, it's ridiculous, Maria. Ridiculous.
All right. Well, talk about ridiculous. What did you think about Russia's elections? Do you think their elections are any more legitimate than ours are?
No, they're probably roughly on a par, but, there's a lot of rigged elections right here in the United States. And while there was a country that was involved in messing with our elections, it wasn't Russia. It was Israel. So, we don't have the proper issues in focus. There are real threats to the integrity of our elections, which dictate that we ought to go back to paper ballots and hand counts. They worked before. They weren't broken. We didn't need to fix it. Frankly, the electronic voting machines were introduced so the Republicans could steal elections, but the Democrats seem to have caught on fast and are doing what they can to catch up.
Right. But I think I was reading that Putin could actually stay in place, I think, till 2024. I mean, he's been in place for, 15 years now or longer? So that's kind of like a dictatorship to me. What do you think about Trump not wanting to have a chief of staff anymore and going it alone?
Well, that's just totally impractical. I mean, there's so many issues the chief of staff has to sift through, so many decisions about scheduling and timing. It would just be ridiculous for him to undertake that. It's a short-sighted proposal, but Trump seems to consider a whole host of issues, which is completely independent of their merit, alas.
Well, he doesn't like to be told what to do, but I mean, we can't let this loose cannon free all by himself, although he has pretty much hinted that at least another 2 heads are going to roll in his cabinet this week. So I don't know if it's going to be John Kelly and Ben Carson. Those are my 2 best guesses.
Well, I don't know. God, Kelly seems to me to be an upright, principled guy. Ben Carson was a political appointee from the beginning. If Carson is not competent as an administrator, and he may well not be, then replacing him would be appropriate. But I think taking up Kelly would probably be a mistake.
Well, they say that they're the adults in the room. So heaven help us. But, Kelly's, it seems to also not be able to control him. What about the disappearance of Jared Kushner, who we haven't seen in a long time since he has so many investigations going on now?
Well, yeah, apparently, you know, this whole Mueller thing has been going in the direction of financial issues. That there's no Russian hacking, so he's got to find something that he can use to justify a misconceived appointment that should never have taken place in the first place. Rod Rosenstein, under DOJ guidelines, had to have a well-defined crime to assign a prosecutor, which was not the case at the time. Instead, he assigned him a target and sent him out to find a crime to associate. That's completely wrong. I believe if there ever were legal consequences here, the whole thing could be dismissed as the fruit of a poisonous tree because it was improperly initiated in the beginning.
Well, you know, Kushner's good friends with Netanyahu, and I think he does a lot of work on behalf of Israel. And we didn't elect him. They didn't even pass a background check. The truth of the matter is, how come we can't get people to pass background checks that are in the White House? Some prosecutor said that if Trump had to pass a clearance, he wouldn't be able to. And why is he sending Ivanka to go talk to South Korea? What the hell, Jim? Do we have nobody in this country willing to be an ambassador to another nation?
Oh, I know. I think that the North Koreans probably appreciated the personal gesture of sending his daughter. That's my interpretation. Just as Kim sent his sister to the Winter Olympics, where the vice president ignored her. I thought that was inappropriate by the vice president. We ought to take any opportunity we have to improve relations with the regimes that pose what we take to be the greatest threats in the world. It's just as with Russia. This is a major, you know, international nuclear power. And if we initiate a war with Russia, it's going to lead to the annihilation of life on Earth. I have no doubt about it whatsoever.
I agree.
And yet that seems to be we're hell-bent on doing precisely that.
Well, you look at all these people that he's picking out of thin air, obviously not from thin air, and they're all, I think Wayne Mattson called them neo-neocons, like double neocons. And I don't know how people can sit by and just ignore that, knowing what these people are capable of. Even Jimmy Carter said picking John Bolton was the worst decision Trump has made.
I agree. I was incensed. I think it's outrageous. I think he's totally inappropriate. I find John Bolton a menace. I mean, he's never done anything that actually is constructive or could benefit the United States, of which I am aware. I thought it was a terrible appointment. I want to see it rescinded. Trump may have been doing it as some kind of symbolic gesture to get people to take these things more seriously, but they're already serious enough. We don't need Bolton in there. He was a bad choice, and I condemn it.
Right. What do you think about this tariff war? What do you think about these tariffs?
Bad idea, so far as I can tell. On the other hand, Trump may have a strategy of which we're unaware. That could make it turn out to benefit the American people on its face. It's a very bad idea that's going to raise prices for a vast range of products here in the United States, including, by the way, lots of products that Trump himself markets.
Listen, it just seems like everybody's been trying to figure out what his thought process or goal is. I mean, look what happened with this with the budget, where it went down to the last minute whether they would know whether or not he was even going to sign it. His own party. He slammed his own party on it. So, you know, could it be that Trump was telling the truth all those years ago when he said, if I ever want to run for president, I'll run on the Republican ticket because those people are stupid enough to vote for me?
I must have missed that one, but that's a good one, Maria. Yeah, well,
because he was never really a Republican. I don't remember him being such a staunch Republican. You know, and he did, donate to Hillary's campaigns, you know, to Democratic campaigns.
He was a moderate to liberal in his social policies. I mean, I don't believe in the past he's had any issue with abortion. I mean, I believe in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, weakman's compensation, a woman's right to choose. All those ought to be fundamental for every American and never challenged by any party.
Well, you know, here he is, you know, there's so many, Ohio, I think, just is really trying to make abortion totally illegal. I think now it's only 15 weeks. Mississippi's gone for total illegal. And yet the president is trying to impress his fake Christian base with all these, you know, anti-abortion talk and anti-pro-choice talk. Well, both of his, at least so far, the two of his paramours, Stormy Daniels said that he had unprotected sex with her, and Karen McDougal said that in their 10-month relationship that they had sex hundreds of times. I don't even want to go to the visual. And that he never used a condom. So how dare he tell women that they can't have a choice?
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, and the former playmate seemed to me to be a very decent person. I mean, she seemed to have genuine feelings for the Donald. Obviously, Stormy did not. I thought she was gratuitously insulting, but, you know, there it is. I mean, what do you expect from a porn star? I mean, she's having sex under all kinds of occasions and circumstances with all kinds of men. I don't think, you know, one more makes a particular difference. She's not keeping...
Well, yeah, she made that very clear. It was kind of like, oh, well, here we go. You know, you get resigned to it. I thought her honesty was great because I could understand what she was saying as a woman. And I liked the fact that she said she wasn't a victim.
Right.
But the bottom line is she was still paid off $130 Lodge, and Karen McDougal was paid $150,000 to be quiet right before the election. Now, if he wanted them to be quiet, why didn't they sign that a long time ago?
Well, you know, I mean, this is the kind of measure you'd expect someone in his position who's basically been a rich playboy who had his pick of women, you know, for a very long time. When he gets into the political arena, not something he'd long anticipated, and where he's vulnerable to attacks based on those relationships, I mean, it seems to me those were prudential moves on his part. From a political point of view, I like the playmate. I don't care for the porn star, but I did agree. I do agree with you. She appeared to be very candid about the relationship. I also am troubled by this. That there was a report today in the paper about the Trump people denying that Stormy was threatened. But my God, if they had nothing to do with it, how would they have any idea whether she was threatened or not? This was in a parking lot. Their position ought to have been they have no idea. If it happened, it was most unfortunate, but they certainly haven't anything to do with it.
Well, here's the flip side of it, Jim. Because yesterday I was at the gym and I was talking to a senior man. It's obvious this guy has money. You know, he's better looking than Trump. And he was, you know, appalled about this whole Stormy Daniels things because he said, but Trump has such a beautiful wife. He was so disconnected. And I said to him, well, let me ask you something. I said, you're a good looking man and you look like you've got some bucks. I said, did you ever have to pay for sex? He said, no. I said, there's your answer. Okay.
Well, so He wasn't paying for sex with Stormy, was he? I didn't understand that to be the case.
No, well, he did offer money to both the girls. Karen, who was in love, rejected it.
But that was a non-disclosure, Maria. That's totally different.
Well, he did offer to buy her an apartment. He wanted to move her into Trump Tower. There were a lot of big gifts being thrown about, none of which were accepted, especially by Karen, because she was in love. How anybody could fall in love with a disgusting man like that is beyond me. But hey, every pot has its cover. But either way, you know, everybody all of a sudden wants to bring up John Kennedy's philandering. You know,
well,
that,
JFK did philander. JFK was a womanizer.
We know that.
He was a philanderer and a womanizer.
But
JFK was an exceptional president of the United States.
Right.
As Jane Fonda long since observed, she'd rather have him screwing women than screwing the country. So, you know, I think she got it right.
And I can't argue. Jim, I can't believe we're already out of time. But I really enjoyed playing word association. I think it's the only way we could get the stories out because there's so much in 1 month.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have these conversations with you, Maria. I certainly enjoy it, and thanks for featuring me.
Oh, it's always my pleasure. And give my love to your wife. Tell her she's not alone.
I will. I'll tell her.
All right. Take care, Jim. Jim Fetzer.
Check
his workout. At jimfetzer.blogspot.com. You don't have to agree. You don't have to disagree. But with all the stories I had that I wanted to touch on, I hope you didn't mind my word association day, because otherwise we'd be focused on one thing and never get to it. Anyway, thanks for supporting the show. I sure could use some more donations, some more support. It's been a very slow month. Let your friends know about the show. Why not buy them some gifts for the holidays coming up? Why don't you gift your friends some subscriptions? You can always, of course, set up a personal consultation with me. I love talking to all of you. And again, thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys on Thursday.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.